So let's read that commandment from God's top 10 list. This is from Exodus chapter 20. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." It's the fourth of our Ten Commandments from God. It's a transition commandment between the commandments that are all about our relationship with God and worshiping him alone, and the commandments that are all about how we treat people and how we live with other people. And it is a transition one because it affects both our relationship with God and our relationship with others, as we'll see. And I know, you know, this is from the Hebrew scriptures, and Christians have had lots of different ways that they've interpreted how this applies to us as believers in Christ, if at all. Some of you may have grown up with a Lord's Day thing where it was like Sundays were a day to go to church and don't have any fun at all. And you just go home and look at each other. I think many of us didn't grow up with any kind of Sabbath rhythm. It was just kind of go, go, go all the time. And that's certainly, it's certainly common in our culture for Sabbath rest to be a foreign concept and one that is not really common. So we won't really be doing either of those extremes, I don't think. And I'm not going to set out a lot of rules for what Sabbath means for us, but simply to remind us of the concept of rest and work in balance. To remind us that we need to slow down sometimes. We need to slow down in order to spend time with God and to listen to him. In a culture around us that says, go, 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 work hard, play a little bit, work more, God says, be still. He's still saying that. And our culture probably needs to hear it. We in the culture that we live in probably need to hear it more than most. Slow down. And so this is our first spiritual practice that we're going to be looking at this summer. And in some ways, it kind of sets the foundation for all of the spiritual practices because it's about setting aside time, which is the biggest challenge to growing as a Christian, spending time with God, is setting aside that time. I love the story in Exodus chapter 16 because instead of the commandment, this ideal, in Exodus 16 we have real people trying to live out the Sabbath, or not trying in some cases, in real life, in their real circumstances that they found themselves. It's not just the commandment detached from real life. And they were in difficult circumstances for sure. Yes, God had saved them from slavery in Egypt and set them free. But as soon as they're free, they look around in the desert and they realize there are about 1 million people and they have no food and no water. And they panicked, understandably so. But God provides for them. As they had to trust the one who miraculously got them out of slavery and across the Red Sea on dry land, they have to trust God in the wilderness as well. And so the desert becomes this discipleship training ground. God provides quail and then the manna, bread from heaven, and even water. And each time they are learning to trust God for everything that they need. Now that they are out of slavery that they wanted to be out of, but they're in this new frightening freedom, and they have to learn how to follow God and trust. Given all that they had been through, surely it would be tempting to, you know, take some extra manna, you know, for a rainy day. And some people did that. Even though they had been told not to by Moses, their leader, and that extra manna rotted and was completely useless and stinky. And then the sixth day came. And then they were instructed the opposite. Actually, I do want you to take extra, Moses said. You're supposed to take twice as much because it's going to last through the Sabbath. So they're supposed to take exactly twice as much so that they wouldn't have to go out and look for it on the Sabbath day. Moses said, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. The morning of that Sabbath in the wilderness, they wake up, they go check on their manna. It didn't rot. It does not smell bad. It's perfectly good. I mean, you still don't know what it is, but it is edible. And it's keeping them alive, and it's keeping them going. And so God did that. Not only is this bread from heaven a gift from God, miraculous gift from God, but it's subject to his rules. It rots overnight one day, but then it doesn't rot overnight for the Sabbath. It's truly a gift from God. Now, some people did go out on the Sabbath. Either, I don't know, did they not take enough? Did they just want to see if they could find more? I don't know, but they went out on the Sabbath against the instructions from Moses, and they found none. There wasn't any. The Lord was frustrated that they hadn't listened, but ultimately, they were all convinced there was nothing to do that day. There was no work to be found, and so they all rested. It says the people rested on the seventh day. They're learning, little by little, learning to trust God enough to slow down, trusting that there will be enough. Even if they slow down. They're also learning to trust God to provide for what they need just one day at a time and no more. It would have been all too easy to say, we can't do Sabbath right now. We are in crisis. We are panicking. We need to just hunt day and night. We are in a bad situation. There's no time for resting. And that's what we often tell ourselves. I'm too busy right now. You know, maybe later I can slow down, but I'm just too busy. There's too much work to do. We sometimes schedule vacations to sort of recover from our busy lives, or maybe we put all our hopes in some sort of someday, whether that's retirement or something else. And the problem is that we can push and push ourselves, even to the point of making ourselves ill. And decades may go by, and that great day of relaxation may not come. Those who learn to trust God, learn to set aside time for rest, whether or not it seems possible right now. It's a spiritual discipline, like any kind of discipline. We make a commitment, and we stick to it with God's help. I know in our family, I take a few hours to be by myself on Monday mornings or Monday afternoons for prayer or reading, sleeping sometimes. Pastor Chris does something similar on Fridays. He often goes out and hikes. It will be different for you. We all have different schedules and responsibilities and rhythms in our week. But I know you can find something. Some of you are going to have to get really creative. Those who are caregiving, that's tough to find that time for rest and connecting with God. But let's get creative. Maybe ask for help so that you can get a break and connect with God. God knows that none of us can just keep going forever. We are creatures, not machines. We need regular times of rest. We can't even make it a full 24 hours without sleeping, right? So we sleep every day, and then we need a weekly rest, and we need monthly breaks and yearly breaks, and even there's a biblical concept of the sabbatical, the every 7 year break. So God has built in these rhythms that we need as humans. In Jesus' day, Sabbath rules were a favorite of the rule-loving Pharisees. And that was one of their tactics for trapping Jesus and his disciples, was to watch him closely on the Sabbath day and catch him breaking a rule. For example, they didn't think that Jesus should heal anyone on the Sabbath day. And Jesus disagreed and sometimes did heal people on the Sabbath. So most of what Jesus says about Sabbath in the Gospels is in response to this legalistic and rule-based approach from the Pharisees. In the midst of one of these ridiculous tests in Luke chapter 6, where the Pharisees are kind of getting on in for his disciples, they picked up some grain and ate it on the Sabbath, and they were like, "Work!" and then Jesus healed someone that day as well. In the midst of that, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath," referring to himself, of course. Jesus is Lord, and he's Lord also of the Sabbath. And then while the teachers of the law were fuming because Jesus had helped someone on the Sabbath, the story continues. In verse 12, it says, and in our Bibles, we have like a separate section, like this is totally different, but I see a connection here. In verse 12, it says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. So while the religious leaders are over here arguing about how to appropriately follow Sabbath laws, Jesus quietly shows us a healthy and fruitful Sabbath practice. For him, what he needed was to get away from those crowds that followed him day and night for the 3 years of his ministry. He needed to pray alone on a mountainside. I think it's significant that Jesus spent this time outside, praying, but out on the mountainside, just him and God and creation. So even while Jesus avoided the rule-based approach, he showed us how to rest. And if Jesus needed time away to connect with God, how much more do we need time away? Time to rest. Time to connect with God. One more thing. Not only does Sabbath rest renew our own spirits and our own bodies, but it impacts those around us when it's done well. Just as an example, maybe putting work in its proper place might open up some more family time, and that might be a benefit to one's family. So that's just one example of how setting aside time for rest can benefit others. I want to look at the wording of the fourth commandment again, verse 10. It says, "The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord our God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." So it's not just the landowner who gets a break, but also all the servants, all the immigrant laborers, even the animals. Of course, in those days, animals did the work that engines do now, so the working animals even get a day off. Leviticus 25 lays out a plan for the land to lay fallow every 7 years, so even the land gets a Sabbath. Verse 4 of Leviticus 25 says, "In the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards." So this rhythm of rest is God's gift to all of creation, from the land to the animals to all the people. We are made to work most of the time. We are made to be productive, but not all the time, not constantly. As creatures, we need to trust that God will provide daily bread, and that despite our anxieties, there will be enough. God is enough. We are enough in Christ, and it's going to be okay. Take a breath. Be still. So as I close up this, I want us to think about what kind of Sabbath rest commitment are you going to make? Work will always be there. There will always be chores to do. The ducks, you know, they may line up for a few seconds, but they're not going to stay there. Even we can't get things to a point where it's all just put together and perfect. We have to be intentional about setting aside the time. So let's prayerfully reflect today. Do you need more time for prayer and worship in your life? Does that need to be more of a priority for you? Or maybe it's sleep or other self-care. Americans are known for not getting enough sleep, chronically. Maybe it's something like, and I can relate to this one, which is why I'm mentioning it, time away from screens. Maybe, you know, whether it's the small screens or the large screens or any kind of fasting practice from things that distract us or make us anxious or just eat up that time that we could be using in a healthier way to connect with family or to connect with God or rest. It's a good time to ask, is work and family life in some sort of balance? Or does family time and personal time always get shortchanged? We ask ourselves. And finally, are you able to give of your time in a way that would allow someone else to take a break? Maybe there's someone in your circle who's caregiving 24 hours a day, and maybe you could help them get a break. So don't pick all of these. Maybe one stands out to you as we reflect and prayerfully make a commitment to change with God's help. Let's just take a moment of silence to breathe and be still and to think over some of these ways that we may commit to Sabbath rest. God, we thank you for the gift of work and for the gift of rest. Help us to follow you in being still when it's time to be still. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can remain seated. We'll sing Slow Me Down.